Good morning, good morning. How are we doing today? Getting better? Amen. I'd like to welcome you to Word of Faith Worship Center this morning. Got a visitor this morning. We welcome you. Got a name for me? Les. Les, we welcome you here to Word of Faith Worship Center. It's not a coincidence you're here this morning, because we believe in faith here that when you step into the presence of God, He's speaking. He's saying something. Something good. It's something alive that He's speaking and wanting to say. Terry, you might have to bump my volume up just a little bit for me. But just listening to those songs this morning, that in His presence, welcome the Holy Spirit. He's a person. And He has power that we have not even tapped in yet. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will never pass away. Now think about that. This heaven and earth is going to pass away. There's a new one God's going to recreate. See, when you think about heaven and earth, don't think about heaven where God's at. This heaven and this earth is dying. It's destroying itself. It's sin destroys. This earth is going to, God's going to roll back the heavens like a scroll by fire. This earth's going to be destroyed. But His Word remains. Who is the Word? Jesus. He is the Word. You've received Jesus, you shall never pass away. Amen. The Word on the inside of you is going to change you. It's going to rapture you. Whatever's going to happen, you're going to remain. We're going to remain with God. That's something to shout about right there now. And we're going to be like Him. When we see Him face to face, Terry, we're going to have to be changed. Amen. The next time Jesus is coming, we're going to have to be changed. His body is now glorified. For us to see Him face to face, we'll have to be changed. Change me, Lord. I'm ready to be changed. Amen. Amen. Jesus, come quickly. Lord, come quickly. Amen. But we've got something to do. He's got something to do. Until He comes, He says, occupy. There's an occupancy level out there. When you walk in this building, it's in the 200 mark, I believe. 130. There's a load capacity that this church will hold. We haven't reached capacity yet. This is the heart of God. He wants His church filled. He wants heaven filled. He said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. Amen. But he wants the broad people. He wants everybody, but He knows they're going to go. There's a broad road leading to destruction, but narrow is the way. Jesus is the way. He's the way. He's the truth, and He's the life. And He wants His church filled. He wants us meeting those occupancy loads to where we got to expand. Enlarge our tents. We got to get a vision. And this is what we do here by faith. We got to see people in the church. See them saved. When they're out there and we know they're lost, Jesus sees them saved. And that's what we got to see them. Amen?
Amen.
That's just a little introduction that the Lord wanted to share this morning. That was not planned, but hallelujah. We thank Him for His presence. Good word. Words of encouragement. It's a good work. Now, don't everybody leave and hit the door now, but we're all called into the ministry. We are all ministers of the gospel. A ministry of reconciliation, bringing those back to Christ. And we've got work to do until He comes. But that's what we're here for. We're here to keep each other in line, right? And how do we do that? By the Holy Ghost. It's called divine guidance. And we're going to start in the book of 1 Kings. It's in your Old Testament if you want to go there with me. I'm going to try to go through some things quickly, but I think if you got your notepad, if you can take shorthand, or we can get you a CD if you need it, just let Terry know. We'll jot your name down. We'll get you a copy. But we're going to be talking about last week was in the enhancement of how to enhance the inward witness. And today I want to pick up and talk about the inward voice of your spirit. Another way God divinely guides you is the inward voice of your spirit. So you have a spirit. Once you get born again, God recreates your new spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in there with you. And He's talking to you. And He speaks to you, not through your head, but in your heart. In the center of man, that's where your spirit is. 1 Kings 19, 9 through 12, talking about this, the voice of your spirit. And there he went into a cave, and spent the night in that place, talking about Elijah. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Verse 10, and Elijah said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in that earthquake. Verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, what does it say? A small, still voice. So it was when Elijah heard it. You can hear that small, still voice. When he heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" God was letting me know there's a small, still voice on the inside of you. I'm not to be led by these circumstances. God ain't in that. Now, God can use some circumstances, but God speaks to you dominantly in your spirit. And it's going to sound just like your voice in your spirit, that small, still voice. We can say it's the voice of your conscience. That's the way He's going to lead you. Pretty much this is about the second way that He's going to lead you. In other words, if you've studied, you've been in the Word, you've learned the Word, you're building a relationship with God, you're going to start to make right decisions. When your flesh is led to go over here and do this, which is wrong, we would say something on the inside of me is going to say, that's not right. That's the voice of your conscience. Because your conscience before Christ was dead. You sinned and it didn't bother you because you were just a sinner. But when you got born again, God put a new nature on the inside of you and your conscience is alive. That's your decision maker between right and wrong. That's how God's going to speak to you. It's the voice of your conscience bearing witness. It will sound like your own voice. And that's good. If it's something you've read in the Word, it's going to be a right leading. Romans 9:1, Jesus said, "I say the truth." Paul said, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." See, the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness with God's Word that's on the inside of you. And that's going to help guide you, when we're talking about divine guidance, to make that right decision. Acts 23:1 says, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." This is the Apostle Paul talking about he's lived in good conscience. How can he say that after he was persecuting and killing the church of Jesus Christ? See, he got born again. He got saved and he built a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus said, "Your sins, Paul, are forgiven. I have forgiven you. They are in the sea of forgetfulness." That's how Paul could sit there and say, "I have a good conscience. I've wronged no man." Because see, he forgot about his past. Because if you don't forget about your past, you'll never get to the future God has for you. Because the devil's in your past. He's wanting to drag you back into that past, right? Jesus is in your future. The devil doesn't know your future because Jesus is not going to reveal it to him. The devil only knows your past. He's there to condemn you every day. "Oh, you messed up here. Don't you remember?" See, remembrance is where in the past. Jesus is holding your future and he said, "Forget that past and trust me. Let me guide you to that next step." The voice of your spirit, your conscience, is reliable and it will lead you into holiness. Don't look out there and see the sinner and see how bad he is. See him lost and he needs Jesus. Once he gets born again, holiness will be a byproduct of building a relationship with God. Amen. And that's going to take some time. See, one might lead somebody to Christ. They come into the kingdom to get born again. And they come into church next week and they got, boy, their clothes ain't looking too good. They ain't smelling too good. Don't look at all that. See, Jesus didn't look at that. He looked at the heart. See, once they get the Word in there, they might be smoking, they might be drinking, they might be dipping or chewing. We're not supposed to look at that. What are we looking at? We're looking at the heart. See, once they build a relationship with God, God will work all that stuff out. Amen? If he comes in 2 minutes, guess what? This body's going to be changed anyway. See, he can deal with all that stuff. But the one thing he can't change is their will. And he wills that they all get saved. That's the key. Get them born again. Get them into the kingdom. Let me work out all these flaws. See, we're not to judge. We're to love. Right? Love them into the kingdom. And I'm going to bump the temperature up a little bit. I think I might be getting a little cool up here, Marty. We got a good air conditioning unit. See, we have a new law that we are under now in the new covenant. It's called the law of love. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. All the commandments fall into that one new commandment, is love one another as I have loved you. Amen. Everyone that came to Jesus had a problem they were dealing with. He helped them, he loved them, and he healed them, set them free. And then he went and he hung on a tree and said, I love you even more. I'm going to die for you so you can be born again. Amen. He didn't look. He says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. He never changes. His word never changes. We are new creation. You're a new species in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new species. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are new. What are we talking about this morning, Terry? A new day. Something new. Something. God has something new for you today. Every day, his mercies are new every morning. This voice is saying, his life is letting you know it's on the inside. God's life is on the inside of you. Your decision you've got to make, the answer is on the inside of you. The wisdom of God is on the inside of you and is speaking to you. But we have to hear, not with just these ears, but with the ears of our spirit. And we've got to listen to that small, still voice. That's the second predominantly way God wants to lead us, is by that small, still voice. In addition to the voice of your spirit, your conscience, you also have the voice of your body. I wish I didn't have that voice. Amen. Your flesh, and the voice of your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Because those are three areas. We're a three-part being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and we live in a body. And as long as we're down here on this earth, we're going to be having to deal with the soul and the body by our spirit. The spirit man, he's the real man on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, he is the one that is holy, and he's on the inside of you. Our temple is the body. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he lives on the inside of me. And if I submit myself to him, I am holy. God says, be holy as I'm holy. What is holiness? Doing what God does, loving people, helping people, speaking life to people. That's being holy. The Holy Spirit convicts believers. He doesn't condemn you. He convicts you of your right standing with God, of righteousness. John 6, chapter 16, if you'll go with me there. You need to know this about the Holy Spirit, because he has a ministry. And I thank God for Reed. Reed has been teaching us on Wednesday night on the Holy Spirit, and he left a handout up here at the vestibule if you need to get one on the way out, just how you can pray to the Holy Spirit, how when you need... You're dealing with something. You don't know exactly how to pray. It's a good little guideline to help you pray and pray the Word and minister to the Holy Spirit and let him give you some counsel and guidance. John chapter 16. Verses 7 through 12. Let's start in verse 5 up here, John 16, 5. But now, Jesus is speaking, but now I go away to him who sent me. Jesus is going back to the Father. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Jesus knew they were going to be sad when he's left this earth. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage, Jesus said, that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper, that's one of his names, the Holy Spirit's name, the Helper, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. How far do I want to go here? And when he has come, he will convict the world. This is the Holy Spirit's ministry. This is what he does. When he has come to you, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He's going to convict the world of sin because they do not believe on Jesus. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Who is the God of this world? Little g. The devil. So Jesus is saying the devil, when Jesus leaves, the devil is going to be judged. His day is over. He was going to be defeated. So say his judgment day came. Not talking about your judgment. He's talking about the devil's judgment. The Holy Spirit is not here to judge you. He's here to convict you of how right you are in Christ Jesus. That makes me feel good. That gives me something. That gives me some boldness to know now I can stand against the devil's kingdom and judge him. See, I can judge the devil's kingdom. He's been judged. I can speak and cast out demons because he's been judged. So I can speak. I can bring judgment on that kingdom. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Jesus could not tell them a lot because the Holy Spirit was not on the inside of them to really give them, to be able to contain all the word that he was going to share. But he lives on the inside of us now. Amen. The Holy Spirit, he is here. He is in us. And he is there to convict believers of righteousness. When the devil condemns you, listen to that small, still voice that says, don't listen to him. Tell him to shut up. Tell him about how good Jesus is, because that's what you are now. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And you start talking about Jesus, the devil's going to leave. Because he can't stand in the presence of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Get Jesus on the scene. Amen? Tell him how good Jesus is. And guess what, devil? I'm one of his kids. I belong to him. Submit yourself to God. That's how you resist the devil, is start telling him how good Jesus is. And when the devil tries to bring sickness on you, all this stuff going around, turn your back and say, devil, look at Jesus. Turn around, Jesus. Now look, devil, look at Jesus' back. You see those stripes on his back? 1 Peter 2:24 says, by those stripes I'm healed. See you later, devil. Take your sickness with you. Amen? Amen? That's a good time to shout right there now. The devil's been judged. He needs to take his stuff and get out of our life. Amen. We got a role to play. We need to be doing some role playing. Get up there and tell the devil. We don't play with the devil. We tell him to get out of our lives. Amen? We need to be bold against. See, that's the Holy Spirit. He gives you boldness to stand and let you know who you are. When you know who you are in Christ, it gives you boldness. Amen? Remember Peter and them, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, went out preaching the name of Jesus, the gospel, the good news, healing people? The Pharisees locked them up in prison and said, y'all cannot preach no more in this name of Jesus. Stop it right now. Peter said, what's better for me to judge, you or God? I'm going to go on God's side. And they whipped them a little bit and let them go because they couldn't, because of the people, they would have thronged them. But they went out, you know what they did? What did they do, Reed? Preached in the name of Jesus. Amen. See, the devil tried to shut them up, tried to keep them in prison, but the Holy Ghost, angels got them out. What we just talked about, Daniel, a couple weeks ago, Daniel wouldn't shut up, would he? They put him in the lion's den. God shut the devil up, shut them lions up. You speak the name of Jesus. You tell God. You tell people how good God is. The Holy Spirit's there to, his voice is there to encourage you and edify you and build you up. 1 Timothy 4:2 says, if you resist the Holy Spirit's conviction, your conscience can become seared. I like to say, in other words, we can grieve. Reed was talking about this. This is something we can do. We can grieve the Holy Spirit, his voice. And what happens when you do that, have you ever gone out and you done any work out in the garden first season? You know, your hands are real tender, and you go out there and you get that shovel and you get that rake and you work all day in the garden, and you look on your hand and you're like, oh my, I should have put some gloves on. What's there? Blisters. Now, if you keep doing that, if you're a farmer, you've got to do that every day, every day, every day. What does that blister turn into? A callus. It gets hard to where you can't even feel that sore anymore, so it's so hard. Ruthie would know something about anybody that plays a guitar. Your fingers will get calluses on them, get hard because of your flesh. That's what happens if we keep grieving the Holy Spirit. He tells us to do this, and we shut that down. No, I'm going to go this way. Your conscience. No, I'm going to go this way. What happens? You start hardening your heart to the things of God, and you become no longer are you able to be divinely guided, so you can't hear that voice anymore. You're hearing the devil's voice, or the world's voice, and then you can be misled. Amen? So I'm in a bad shape. I've been doing that. It's okay. Just repent. Say, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Get cleansed. Get your heart pure and get on the job. God's not always there to kick you down. He's there to get you up. Because we're going to fail and make mistakes. The devil wants to rub your nose in it. God wants to get you up and you rub your nose and rub his nose in it. Amen. He's supposed to be behind us, not in front of us. Talking about the devil. But the Holy Spirit will always, always, always lead you in line with the Word of God. That's a rule of thumb right there. You can always, I don't care what I'm saying up here today. If it does not line up with the Word of God, if I say something wrong and you get in the Word and you find this wrong, do not believe what I say. Because I'm in the flesh sometimes. I'm going to miss it. But praise God, I'm praying that I'm not. But we got a flesh, right? Sometimes we might miss some things. That's the voice of your spirit. Now, there is another way God leads us. And this is another way. And it's more stern. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's more authoritative. I had this experience in my younger walk with the Lord, maybe 3 or 4 years after I got born again. Kenneth E. Hagin. Anybody ever heard of Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin? Rhema Bible School. He started Rhema Bible School, but he was dead. He was bedfast at the age of 16, incurable blood disease, a deformed heart, given up on, didn't have no good ministers that knew any word on healing. But God met him on his bed of sickness and spoke to him by that small, still voice, Mark 11:23-24. And that man got in the Word, and it didn't happen like that, but he got the Word, and the Word got him. And before you know it, I think maybe a year, year and a half later, this man that couldn't even walk, that was skin and bones, believed what that Word said, and now God said, get up and act like it. The man took his legs and threw them off his bed and stood up. Hadn't stood up in over a year and a half, bedfast. Nobody was in there to see him but God. But he said he stood. Didn't have much strength, but he stood. And after that, he walked around the room. And then later on, he said he was going to tell his mama to might as well set me a plate at the supper table because I'm coming. They didn't quite believe him, but guess what? He showed up. God showed up. Kenneth showed up, and he got up. And he went and had supper with his family. And from there, lived to be 82. The devil said, you were through. God says, you're just getting started. Amen? Because he believed. He got a hold of the Word of God. Heard that voice that divinely guided him to over 40 years of ministry. And that same voice that spoke to him was the same voice in my home as I was walking down the hall one morning. And I'm heading to the kitchen. I heard somebody say, teach my people faith. That's what I heard. That's all I heard. Teach my people faith. But it was loud enough to where I thought it was somebody. I turned around. It wasn't loud here, but it was loud on the inside of me. And I looked, walked back, and there was the Believer's Authority book that I had read, picked up at one of the apartment maintenances and had read, and somehow it got in the floor. But on the back of that book tells the life of Kenneth E. Hagin, what God had called him to do. And at the end of that little testimony of what I just read you, it said, and God called him to go teach my people faith. See, that was the voice of the Holy Spirit, not Kenneth E. Hagin, but it was the same Spirit that spoke to him on that bed of sickness, spoke to me when I needed some guidance, Lord. I didn't know where I'm going to go. I was in Mooresville, in the church in Mooresville, but when I heard that, then I heard Andrew Womack on the radio, and I heard Brother Jim Howard preaching right behind him on the radio, and it was God-inspired. It was things I needed to hear, and I said, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know these people, but this is where we need to go. And it led me to that church, Divine Connections. I met Jim Howard. Through Jim Howard, I met Gary Price. Through Gary Price, I met Life Christian University. And guess where a lot of those teachings from Life Christian University come from? Rhema Bible Training Center. Teach my people faith. See, that's how God divinely directs your steps. And he'll use that authoritative voice. If all these other voices are speaking to you and you can't hear, you might be new in the Lord. It's not his primary way, but he will speak to you on the inside, and you'll turn around like, man, and if it's to do something good, I'll tell you right now, that's not the devil. That's God. Amen? Because the devil's not going to tell you nothing good to do. He's always going to be, there's no truth in him, only death. Now, he might make it sound good to you, but there's no good in him. So this is the next way that God will lead you. It's through that voice, that authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit.
When Jesus speaks to us, he speaks through the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's an inaudible voice. It's not voices. It's not a voice you hear with these ears, but it's on the inside of you. John 16:13. And I'm going to kind of hit these kind of quickly. Jesus said, however, when he, who is he? The Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's not an it. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you. He is your guide into truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, the Holy Spirit is hearing what Jesus tells him to say. Jesus said, whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. If you want to know things to come, ask Jesus. Because Jesus is going to tell the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit's going to tell you. See, God has things in order. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit brings the manifestation. See, God does everything in order. They are the same. They're all God, but they have a divine order that they're in. Amen? And when we pray that way, that next thing we're going to talk about, and I'll just plug us in here right now, I'm going to start a teaching Wednesday on discipleship evangelism. I think it's something I need to hear, we need to hear, because we need to evangelize, spread the good news, and get people, and not just get them born again, but disciple them. What we're talking about this morning, what I'm ministering, this is discipleship right here. This is not just preaching, this is preaching and teaching. Sometimes that doesn't fill up a church, but we need to fill up the world with preaching and teaching. See, we might not quite fill the church up some days, but when we go out, we're being the church. Because they got to hear teaching and they got to hear preaching. Preaching proclaims, teaching explains. Now, how do I do this? Well, I don't know everything, but I'll tell you what I know. Amen? Because I'm counting on you. You know something I don't know. Because, see, you got the gift of God on the inside of you, too. Plus natural gifts. I can't do this by myself. I need help. Everybody raises their hand and say, I'll help you, Pastor. Come on, I need some help out there. See, this is the way the church operates. It operates in the ministry of helps. We need some help. Did Jesus work by himself? What was the first thing he done after he got baptized in the Holy Ghost? He went to the desert and took it to the devil. Was tempted, took everything the devil threw at him, and then told him, this is who I am. I'm just paraphrasing here. And after he got done with the devil, he left that wilderness and he was filled with the power of God and went out and started doing the work of the ministry, healing people, teaching people, giving people food, bringing miracles to the earth. God had returned to the garden. Amen. The Garden of Eden. He was setting things straight. He was back in this earth with his mankind, walking hand in hand. That's Jesus in the flesh, God in the flesh. The voice of the Holy Spirit is stronger than the voice of your own spirit. When I say stronger, it's just more bold. It's if like you're getting ready to go somewhere and the Holy Spirit knows you don't need to be there. It can be a strong, audible voice on the inside of you. Stop. It might just be one word. Don't go. Do not grieve that spirit. Think about 9/11. Think about all these things that's happening in the earth. God is always there to protect his kids. It's not God's fault if we leave this earth before our time. It's not his fault. It's either my fault, it's the devil's fault, or it's this world, the sin nature that's at fault. You know, you might go up here and go to work, be a constructor and work on a high-rise tire and be a Christian and fall off by accident and leave this earth and go to heaven. It might not be nobody's fault but your own. You slipped. You didn't have your harness on. It's not God's will. God's will is that we fulfill the days that he has promised us with life and health, that we come to a good old age, right? 99 and still coming to the house of the Lord. Amen? That's Alicia right here. 99 and counting. 99 years and going strong. These are a couple more, just the authoritative voice. Remember when Peter had a trance, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He was in that trance, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, do this. There's three people coming, and you're going to need to go minister to these people and preach the gospel to them. And when he come up out of that trance, three people, it wasn't just a couple seconds or a couple minutes or a couple days. They were knocking at the door. See, Peter needed to hear that, and he needed to hear it now because he needed to preach salvation to these people. They needed to hear that they are just as worthy as anybody else because God said, I'm sending out my spirit. I'm pouring out my spirit on all flesh. There's no red, white, black, and blue. We are all flesh. Look at yourself. You have flesh. God didn't say red, white, black, or blue. He said, I'm pouring out my spirit on all flesh. We are his kids. And he loves us just as much. Amen. If you're born in this earth, you're a child. God, you're God's kids, and he's trying to get you into the kingdom. This voice can be a voice of prophecy, can come through a prophet or teacher, may hear God's voice inside themselves and then speak it out by faith. And it can be an authoritative. Remember when the prophet spoke to Paul and told him, this man, he's going to go in chains. If he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to be chained and he's going to be whipped. That prophet was speaking what he was seeing, what he was sensing from the Holy Spirit that was going to happen to Paul. But it wasn't, that was a divine guidance for Paul. Paul had to confirm what he heard, and he had to judge that. Well, would that, it wouldn't, I'm sure it didn't make Paul's flesh feel good that he's going to go be put in chains. But Paul had already determined when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and had a 3.5-year experience in the wilderness with him by the Holy Spirit, that whatever it takes, whatever it costs, Lord, I'm going to do this work you've called me to do. And he said to that prophet, he said, I'm willing I'm willing to die for Christ. Whether chains be what may, I'm ready to go. And it did not take him off course, but what it did, it prepared him for what he was going to. Amen. Don't seek these voices. Now, you want to be led by the Holy Spirit. You want to hear God. He's going to speak to you. But don't go to God and say, God, I need to hear your voice. Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to see angels. Lord, I want to do this. I want to see these spectaculars. No, don't seek these things. Seek God. Seek God and let him guide you how he needs to. It could be, predominantly, it's going to be by the word and by that inward witness. Because when you start asking and seeking for things, if you're not careful, the devil is a spirit. He's a spirit being. And he can make things happen, too, to kind of get you off course. He's speaking by voices. Not all these voices are God. God will provide as needed, and you will know your guidance system is working. Another way God will guide us, and I'm going to go through these quickly, because these are as you mature, you get older in the Lord. He can guide you by prophecy. You know, we'll bring different ministers into this church. Donald Moore is one that operates in the gifts of the Spirit. We'll get him back in here. Because, see, we need the fivefold gifts flowing through the church. Pastor, teacher, the prophet, the evangelist. Because they all have something to give. Those gifts to you and to the body. And that's why we come here to get equipped. The prophet's ministry. We need that prophet's ministry in the earth. But all prophecy, when it comes to you, is to be judged. What do we judge prophecy by? The Word of God. If we can't find it in there, don't be guided that way. You always go and confirm it in the Word. And it's going to be confirmed in your heart. So make sure that's how you take a prophecy, you judge it with the Word. A prophecy for guidance must bear witness with your spirit. Or confirm what God has already told you. Right? If a prophet comes in and says, hey, brother, you need to do such and such and such and such, and God's going to richly bless you. Well, if God hadn't already told you that, that's not a confirmation, right? See, prophecy will always confirm what God has already spoken to you. A prophet is not to guide you. A prophecy is not to guide you. The Holy Spirit is to guide you. Amen? Now, that prophecy can confirm what the Holy Spirit has already affirmed in you. I want to make that clear. Never be led by a prophecy. Be led. Those that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. See, we're the sons of God now. We're led by His Spirit. And that's the way we're supposed to be led. In the Old Testament, they were led by prophecies. Prophecies were fulfilled in the New Covenant. But now we're in a new day now. We're in the new covenant now. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. Prophets can miss it. They're in the flesh, right? But the Holy Spirit never misses it. He hears from Jesus, and He'll deliver to you what you need to hear. There's another guidance that the Holy Spirit can use. The Spirit of God can be a spiritual vision. My wife sees more spiritual visions than I do. I can't tell you a vision, a spiritual vision, when I say, is like this is the lowest level. It's when your eyes are closed and you actually see something in the spirit realm. This is not a dream. This is just a spiritual vision. That's another way the Holy Spirit can guide you, can show you something quickly in the spirit. And that might be a gift that he uses in you. If it is, it's a God-given gift. Exercise that gift and work with God, and because it's there for a purpose. Remember Paul in Acts 16:6-10 in verse 9, Paul had a vision in the night to go to Macedonia. It was a vision given to him by the Holy Spirit. And that's the way the Holy Spirit helped lead and guide him to Macedonia. And see, but Paul, you got to understand now, he was on the mission field. He didn't have all the luxuries like we have today, right? He's out there on the field, maybe on probably on foot. He doesn't have the telephone to talk to the church in Jerusalem. He doesn't have a cell phone. So what did he need? He needed guidance, right? He probably didn't have a GPS like we got. I need my wife. She's my GPS. Paul wasn't married, right? So he didn't have the wife. He needed God. Lord, show me where to go and where not to go and where to preach and where not to preach. Sometimes he's out there on the mission field. Paul could get killed. So God had to show him spectacular guidance out there on that mission field because he needed to get the gospel. Paul had to get to Rome. So God used whatever he needed to get his servant to Rome. Jesus walked on water, did he not? You think he's going to do less with us or less with Paul, whatever we need to do to get to our destination? Need to walk on water? Jesus said, the works that I do, greater works shall you do. He might need you to walk on water one day, right? Two of you at one time. I'm just saying, just trust God. God can do what he needs to do to get you where he needs to get you to. Another way the Holy Spirit can lead you is through a trance, like he led Peter. And a trance is just like when your whole body shuts down, but you're in a trance. And you're fixed. Your eyes can be either closed or open. But the veil of heavenly things is removed and your senses are suspended. It's like you're right in the presence of Jesus. You're just in the Spirit. Acts 19:11, we talked about Peter fell into that trance. And it was for a purpose. It ain't just to get a goosebump or a feeling, right? When God does something spectacular, it's for a spectacular purpose. It's to get somebody saved, keep somebody from getting killed, to get somebody healed or delivered. That's what the purpose is for. It ain't so you can come to church and talk about this great vision that you had, right? See, that's just going to glorify the flesh. It's for that particular place in that person's life for somebody else. Then once that happens, yeah, then we got a testimony. But it ain't just to share this great vision that I've had. No, you need to pray about it. Don't just all of a sudden share it because look what happened to Joseph. We bear witness with that. He told what God gave him a dream, a divine dream, but it was for an appointed season. I don't think it was God's will for Joseph just to blurt all this thing out. It cost him. He had to endure hardness like a good soldier. I'm not going to rewrite the Bible, but I think there could have been a little bit better way Joseph could have handled that. Right? Dreams fall into this same category. Even though one eyes are closed, you could have a trance through a spiritual guidance like that. Another way is an open vision. This is one of the highest ways that God would lead you in this would be your eyes are open and your senses are not suspended. But you see, you have an open vision. You just see something in the Spirit right then. It could be a discerning of spirits. You know, many times, and this is not always the case, that sickness or disease or cancers, there can actually be a demon attached to that sickness in that person's body. God can give you an open vision. You see that. You discern that in the Spirit, and you know that. We've had that operate here in the church through Donald Moore, through Larry, talk about the ulcer he had in his stomach. The man saw that in the Spirit. He saw that. He had an open vision and saw it. See, that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus knowing that and revealing it to Donald Moore so Larry could reap the benefits of that and then receive the power of God. So just be open to the will of God. Never seek God's hands. What he has, seek him. Because he wants to give you all that he has. But he wants us to stay on the right track. Don't seek all these gifts and all these spiritual matters. No, you seek God, and that comes as a byproduct. Is build your relationship with the Lord. Amen. Because the first ministry he's going to start, just like he's taught me many years ago when I Andrew Womack came to town, and I knew God had called me. I knew there was a calling on my life. I was excited. Jim Howard called this, he calls it the cage stage. When you get born again and you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you're just like a bird wrapped up in a cage, you're ready to go tackle the world. Give me a stadium like Billy Graham for Jesus. And I couldn't, and back then I couldn't even hold a mic. I couldn't even sing without shaking. And I'm like, I feel like I got all this power. I'm learning all this stuff. Now I just want to tell everybody. And you start telling people. But then all of a sudden, see, you're working on the overflow. And so you got to keep putting something in so you can always have something coming out. So you got to grow with the Lord. Paul spent 3.5 years with him before he went into the mission field. We think we need to spend a little bit more time with Jesus before we go cast out devils. I'm not saying we don't have the power, but you need to be prepared. Who's served in the military in here? Look here. 1, 2, keep them hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm sure y'all learned a few things before you went into battle, right? That sergeant, that drill sergeant, taught you a few things. And it probably wasn't kind. Their words were probably not kind and gentle. They were stern and bold. Well, see, the Holy Spirit is the same way. He's the same way. He's a spirit of meekness, but he's also the spirit of boldness. He's there to prepare you. I'm here to equip you. I'm hearing from him, and I'm taking from what Jesus is telling him, and I'm relaying it to you to help you, to equip you to go out and do the work of the ministry, whatever God's called you to do, out of these four walls and also in these walls. Amen? Because it starts in here. The fire starts in here, and then we go out of here and we make fires everywhere for Jesus, right? Amen. And like I say, when I was in that cage stage, and I was ready to go tackle the world for Jesus, and then I started hitting those brick walls. I remember going to my brother-in-law, and, you know, you've grown up with them, you've worked with them. I'm not going to mention denominations, but it was just the flesh. But God just revealed his healing power to me so awesome that I just couldn't believe God couldn't heal that time in my life, because God was doing so many things in my life and my children. We had two then, and we were just praying for those kids for anything. Forget the doctors. I mean, we was at that level to where, I mean, God was doing supernatural things, and that's okay. I don't say don't take your kids to the doctors. We didn't have to, because God was blessing them. We were speaking to coughs. We were speaking to colds, cramps, whatever we didn't think was normal, we were speaking to it. And we was building our faith with God. But then we started hitting something I call religion. Anybody know about religion? Doctrines of men. What we think God's doing or what we think God should do, that's religion. Take it this way. Religion, who you relying on, religion. I'm relying on Jesus. I like his religion. He said, the works I do, you shall do. Doesn't mean everybody that Jesus went to received him, but all those that came to him received what he had. See, that's the difference. God's not going to send you to everybody. He's not going to send you to the world. He's sending you out in the world. But we've all got different places and different people that we're going to come across. That's your path. You know, you're looking at me. I'm doing what God's called me to do. This is not, per se, what God's called you to do. But I'm here to help you. I'm not here to tell you what God's called you to do. I'm here to help guide you to where he's called you to do. And what? And show you what he's put on the inside of you that he's given you to do. Now, I can't do that by my brain. I can do a little bit because he shows me some things, but I got to be led by my spirit. So I got to trust what I'm saying, what I'm hearing from God. When I'm speaking today, it's inspired by him. So don't look to me to be your answer. Look to God who has the answers to give it to me to help you. Amen? That's how we're to hear his voice and to listen to that voice, follow that voice, be that voice, be his voice in the world. Amen? Amen. He's awesome. He's good. All the time. All the time. And he's right on time. Ain't there a song out there? God is right on time. He's never early. He's never late. He's right on time. I think about the three men, the three Hebrew boys in the fire. But the king, after he threw them in there, he said, but I look, and I'm looking in the furnace, and I see it looks like a fourth man in the fire. I thought we threw three in. But he looks like the Son of God. He just... That king never knew what the Son of God looked like, but he did that day, and he knew by the Spirit of God, this is the Son of God. See, people, when they see you and when they see me, they see the Spirit of God on the inside of you, and they see a difference. They see you coming. Those devils are in there. If they're not born again, they're going to either come to you or be pushed away from you, but they see a difference in you. Amen? They don't like you sometimes. It's not the person. It's the demonic forces on the inside of you. Light and darkness don't mix. Salt and pepper don't mix. But you get salt and salt together. Now that mixes. You're the light of the world, the salt of the world. It's time to get out of the salt shaker. Amen? Get out there and start seasoning the world for Jesus. Go where He tells you to go and do what He tells you to do. Don't push them. Don't put them over. What was that? I can't remember that little saying right now. Don't preach hell and condemnation. I mean, you need to let them know that there is a hell and there is a heaven, but that God loves them. It's the love of God that leads to repentance. That's what's going to save them. Not the law. Got to give them grace. Got to give them love. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your words of encouragement today. Lord, we thank You for the Holy Spirit, who is our guide, and He is the teacher of the church, sent by God the Father, by way of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank You for His ministry, that Lord, He is here, He's on the inside of us, and we thank You for that ministry. Holy Spirit, we thank You, Lord, for Your gift that You have given us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank You right now for each and every individual in this church right now, Father, that they hear Your voice as they go out of this church, as they go out into the world, that they'll be in tune to that small, still voice, and it will lead them, direct them, encourage them, inspire them. And Father, we thank You, Lord, right now for souls that You are bringing into the kingdom of God and using this church, using these people right now, Lord, to go out and be vessels to see Your glory, Father God, poured out into this earth. Lord, we thank You, Father God, that You look down and You've made us worthy by the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus, that we can go out here and Your Spirit, Your Holy Spirit, can flow through us to other people. That, Lord, we can see blind eyes open. Lord, we can see deaf ears opened up, Father God. That we can see the lame leap to their feet. That we can see incurable blood diseases, Lord, as we lay hands on people and just by faith speak Your word, Lord. See things, see their bodies changed. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for that Your power has been released through the Holy Spirit to us. And Lord, You have made us worthy to take Your Holy Spirit and go out into the world and release His love and see things change. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for this great nation, the United States of America, Lord, that we stand strong in the unity of the faith, Father, that we are not going to be, You're not going to be kicked out of our schools, Lord. You're coming back into our schools. Lord, we just stand against all these laws that's been written. Lord, we thank You right now that Your law has been written on our heart. We will stand bold and proclaim Your goodness. Lord, our voice will not be silenced in this earth. It will be proclaimed on the housetops that Jesus is Lord and God is good and His mercies are forever. They endure forever. We thank You for that, Father. Thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that You are watching over each and every one of our men and women in the military and in this church. And we give You the praise for that right now in Jesus' name. Let's all agree and say amen. Amen. Any personal prayer request, the Holy Spirit is here to minister to you. Anything you need,